emotions around the music room closet, and I wouldn't say they're overwhelmingly positive. The ones that come to mind for me are fear, shame, dread, the opposite of a happier music teacher. Today on Happier Music Teacher, 10 tips for taming your music room closet, part one. Hi, and welcome to Happier Music Teacher. Are you a music teacher who has no time, no voice, and you kind of need to pee? I'm Beth Duhon. I'm a Christian, wife, mother, musician, and former stressed hot mess music teacher. I've been there. Join me every week as we work on easy micro actions so that you can be a happier music teacher. This week's People, Podcasts, and Promotions Spotlight shines on me. Happier Music Teacher, 50 Days to Being a Happier Music Teacher at Home and at School, has just released on Amazon, and I could not be more excited. Y'all, I believe so strongly in this book and its message, and I would not have written it if I did not think it would help you, if I did not think it would help me. So here's a little bit about it. I think it would be great for a Mother's Day gift, if you're last minute like I am. I think it would be a great gift for yourself, a teacher appreciation gift, a just because. And when you think about it, there aren't so very many books directly for music teachers, especially ones around the subject of self-care, and other ones are just really tactical and practical. I worked hard on this. I put my heart and soul into it. I hope you will appreciate that and consider purchasing it on either FLAT Books or on Amazon. So here's a little bit of a description. Do you relate to the music teacher troubles of I have no time, no voice, and I need to pee? You love teaching music, but you'd like to be happier. The typical self-care advice of candles and bubble baths isn't getting the job done. Plus, it seems like it was written by someone that's never spent a day in the classroom or doesn't understand the unique struggles of music teachers. In Happier Music Teacher, 50 Days to Being a Happier Music Teacher at Home and at School, seasoned music teacher Beth Duhon leads you through guided journaling and specific micro actions to take you from being a stressed, overwhelmed music teacher to a happier music teacher at home and at school in 50 days. You don't have a school life and a home life. You have a life. Each day, Beth invites you to explore one micro action that you could change to refocus, recharge, and rebalance your teaching and home life. Specifically geared toward women balancing career with family, this book draws from Beth's experiences as a mother, partner, and music educator. Topics include rest, commuting, meals, vocal fatigue, movement, comparison traps, joy. With short, easy-to-follow prompts and journal questions, this book is great to work on alone or with a support group of other educators. If you never purchase anything, I am here for it, and I want to serve you through the podcast, through the Facebook group, through anything that I might present that you're attending. But if you think that you would benefit from this, I totally agree. I'm going to put the link to purchase in the show notes, and I think this summer will be a fantastic time for you to work through it. Just like our music room closets are probably overstuffed, this episode is overstuffed, so I decided to break it into two parts. So this week we'll have 10 tips for taming your music room closet, and next week we'll visit part two. If you look deep into the typical music teacher closet, you're going to find an auto harp or two that no one uses. It may be even hard to walk in or out. You're going to find several generations worth of music teacher stuff because teacher after teacher after teacher, we've been scared to get rid of everything or anything. One thing for sure, I am not Marie Kondo, but let's just jump on in and see what we can do to tame our music room closets. As I was writing this, we were actually having a garage sale. So I was definitely, I had some free time. I was sitting there for a couple hours while my son was at his lesson. And I was also in the mindset of purging and getting rid of things and everything, which was probably the perfect mindset for writing this episode. Number one, if you aren't using already, let me introduce you to the Sharpie method. So get a lot of black Sharpies. You know they're going to disappear and they're endlessly useful. You're going to put the date, the year, and the source inside things that you can unless they're black. So, for example, if it is a grant, on the inside of the Tubano, go ahead and write the year and put the grant name before it. So Fort Bend ISD grant, Tubano, 2024. You will think you will remember, but you may not always be the music teacher on your campus. And how about for the people after you? And you would be surprised when it does come time for you to leave that you may not know the difference between your personal things and other things. And you really want to know, especially for inventory. So, did it come from the PTO? When? Did it come from campus funds? Now, I don't think you necessarily have to go back in time to research this, especially if it's a little unclear to you. But starting today, you're going to Sharpie things. If it is your own personal thing, make sure you have your name inside that book that you got from the book fair with your own money, that you have your name inside of the instruments that you brought with you, anything like that. Was it a donation? From who? When? If it's something black, which a lot of the things are, like my keyboards, then I recommend some PE tape. It's really great. Doesn't get sticky. Not painter's tape, but literal PE tape. It has a little bit of a stretch to it. And then write on that with a Sharpie. I like to use a bright color like red and then a black Sharpie on top of that in an inconspicuous place. Number two, keep a list of things you've loaned and borrowed. My district has a really great culture of people loaning back and forth. I think it's wonderful. And like I said, I really like it when we are using funds well and using resources well and also collaborating. So I just feel like it checks a lot of boxes. But you want to be careful there. No one is intentionally going to walk off with your stuff. Trust me. But just like you can forget and get overwhelmed, they might forget and get overwhelmed. So it's an excellent idea to keep a list of your things that you're loaning out or things that you borrowed as well. So at the end of the year, you can get square and you can touch base. Do you still need that instrument that you borrowed from me? Oh, you need it a little bit longer? Fine. Oh, those props from Christmas, could I have them back? That way, everything is just staying free and clear with communication. Like I said, no one is intentionally going to try to take your stuff, but they're like us. It might get past them too. We are not quite the PE coaches with that amount of inventory, but we do have a lot of inventory, and it's a big part of the job. Number three is a toughie. Just say no to cassettes and VHS. When is the last time you listened to a cassette tape? When is the last time you popped in a VHS? Even some print resources, if you now have them online or you have a different version online that's really so much more convenient and easier for you, really think twice about those. Now, regarding getting rid of something, some things you might be able to chuck, no questions asked. Other things you might have to run past a supervisor, or there might be a process in place for them to pick up the old things, put them on another campus, repurpose them or whatever. But really, without guilt or hesitation, figure out a plan and get rid of those old resources. They are not doing you any good, taking up space in your closet. Number four is a tough pill to swallow for me, but hear me out. Say no to lounge freebies and any other giveaways until you've cleared your space. You really cannot pile on top of the piles. And even if it's the best lounge freebie or a really good giveaway, think twice before you accept it, because you're just making the job to sort and purge that much harder. And sometimes in the light of day, that giveaway or freebie doesn't just have the same glow to it. Number five is don't take out more than you can deal with at one time. It is so easy, and ask me how I know, to start at the beginning of the workday, maybe with your buddy, and you have so much energy and you are going to tackle this thing, by golly. And by the end of the day, you are dusty and sweaty and grumpy and you don't even want to look at your stuff anymore. So if I could urge you for one thing, do not take out more than you can deal with at one time. This might mean you have to slow way down and you're only doing a shelf at a time, but do not take out more than you can put back and deal with, because when your entire room is trashed, it has to get untrashed to go ahead and teach students the next day or whenever that might be. And it's really no fun when you're exhausted. So even if you have to move slower, don't take out more than you can deal with at once. Number six, if you're lucky enough to have an existing inventory sheet, add or subtract to it as you go, year by year. Once again, this is one of those things, little by little, not a big deal. You're probably not going to add a million in a year. But if you wait 5 years, then it's going to turn into a situation. Ours for the districts is Excel. For the categories, it is great to document what things are donations, which things are grant, which things are district, which things are personal. No stress, and I don't think you necessarily have to go backwards. It could even be something that you do alongside someone to make it move a little bit easier. But it is really great to see at a quick glance exactly what you have, because believe it or not, you will forget what you have. And things don't always stay current, right? Things need repaired or replaced. It's so good to have a good handle on what's going on. And if you don't have a good handle, start where you are with what you can. Maybe you just start with your hand percussion or your ORF instruments or your movement props. And as you get more time and more bandwidth, you just gradually add to it. Number seven, You will not get your files, closet, and all your cabinets done in one session. It didn't happen overnight. Like I said, once you get in there and dig a little bit, you may go back several music teachers to find their files and things like that that were not purged. So have realistic expectations. You will be a lot happier if you just take it slow and little by little, or if you do it in chunk, but don't think you're going to get everything done at one time. Those are all separate jobs with their own energy. The closet is different than the cabinet, is different than the files. So have very gentle, kind, realistic expectations about yourself, about what you will and will not get done. Number 8, and we all have different standards for this, but here are some of my things. I think that it should be covered storage. I feel like rectangular is nice when you can, although I know we all have those irregular shaped things that will not fit in a box or bin to save their life. I like copy boxes. I pounce on those when I see them, maybe to the point of hoarding, but so far so good. And then also clear bins. And then you're going to, like I said, there are all sorts of different standards for this, but I think a good, pretty doable solution for most of us is to type and then print and then laminate the labels. I haven't laminated much in my life, but at least typing and printing them, large print, so it's on the outside. Seeing everything in the closet or cabinet at a glance is not really a realistic expectation, but if it's labeled and boxed in a square, you should be able to know what's on the outside with some reasonable certainty, and also to stack them pretty well, and they won't get dusty or dirty. Number 9, and this is your personal decision, but if you're asking me, don't decide that the solution is taking large chunks of off-contract time to deal with this. You do not need to come 2 weeks early in the summer to deal with your closet. You do not need to stay till 6 or 7 on a weeknight to deal with your closet, especially one that, frankly, you probably inherited that mess. You did not create that mess, and you're not being paid to deal with that mess. So I love being a good steward, and it makes me feel more relaxed when the space is tidy. But do not decide to use all this unpaid labor time. No, that does not make anyone happier, and I don't even think it's best practice, to be honest. But what you could possibly do, maybe the last hour of a workday, maybe if your class has to be quiet during testing and you have them on another activity, you could work on it a little bit during that time. Maybe it's at the end of the day, particularly I'm thinking like a Friday afternoon, when you do so want to be productive, you can't stop work, you're still at work, but you're really not in the mental space or the physical space to do desk work. So think about those little cracks and margins of your day. And if you feel like staying a few minutes after contract, sure, of course. Do I stay after? Yes, regularly. But don't think that just taking a big chunk of time is going to get it all done at once and make you feel better. I don't know if that's the answer. And not to discourage you, but say that you leave in a few years, it can get trashed real quickly, and then where's your time gone? Number 10, maybe the buddy system, depending on your situation. I have a music 2 teacher on my campus. She is not a musician. She is not certified, but we have tackled some of those spaces together. If you have student helpers that could do some things safely, maybe the best choice for them is some files, definitely things that are not confidential, things that are easy, sorting work, counting work, things like that. It feels like it goes faster with someone else, even if you're just a little bit less lonely or bored. It's definitely more encouraging, and sometimes the feedback of someone else, now, don't get your hoarder friend up in there, but if you have someone else, and also don't get the person who thinks you should ditch everything, but the pretty measured, pretty clear person can help you see it a little bit more clearly, like, yeah, in fact, all those Folgers cans that you've been saving for a year are junk. Don't ask me how I know that. A lot of times when we are overwhelmed and it's hard to make good decisions, just having that extra person there can make you feel a little bit more centered and encouraged and have a little bit more fun. So to sum up part 1 of 10 tips for taming your music room closets and cabinets, number 1, you're going to subscribe to the Sharpie method. Number 2, keep a list of the loaners and also things that you borrowed. Number 3, just say no to things that are out of date. Cassettes, VHS, dated textbooks, even the print resources that you may not need. Now, you don't have to get rid of them in one fell swoop. Some of them you might actually like. I actually have some textbooks that I like to have on hand for a couple of reasons. But if you think it's outdated and not useful and taking up space, it probably is. So let's figure out what the proper channel is to get rid of it or get it in someone else's hands who will use it. Number 4, If your lounge is full of freebies and other giveaways, you are not allowed until you've cleared the space for those things and you're sure that you'll use them and it's not just going to junk up your space some more. Number 5, take out only what you can deal with at one time. Number 6, keep the inventory sheet up or low-key create one. Number 7, realistic expectations. You are not going to get the whole system done in one day. No. Number 8, I like copy boxes and clear bins. Number 9, be very judicious with your off-contract time for this. If you think it's the right thing to do and you want to, but like I said, for me, I am not going to take the equivalent of 2 weeks of vacation to deal with my music room closet. Nope, I inherited it. And number 10, think about the buddy system. There it is, the 10 tips for taming your music room closet and cabinet. Look for part 2 next week. I'm excited to be presenting a free Wednesday webinar for Music Play Online this Wednesday, May 8th at 5:30 Central Time. It's Maximizing Music Play with the Happier Music Teacher webinar with Beth Duhon. So join me as I show you how to maximize music play. I've always said, if you're not as crazy about music play as I am, you just haven't made friends with it yet. So I'll show you how to use the My List feature, games, learning modules, the student code, how I use it for my lesson plans, choir rehearsals, even in my learning management system. Plus, you know me, I'll still be sharing some of my favorite tips and tricks for being a happier music teacher at home and at school. It helps them a lot if you register, even if you can't be there live. I'll put the link in the show notes. I'm really looking forward to seeing you there. This week's verse of the day, 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. This week's Mindset Minute is, the limits are the limits. Now, I know that we are supposed to think that the sky is the limit, and you can't dream too big, and let's have some big, hairy, audacious goals, and all of that. But frankly, and I hope this isn't coming from a pessimistic place, it's certainly not my heart, the limits are the limits sometimes, frequently in life, and that's probably a good thing. So we can really just wail against it and say, oh, why is my time so limited? And if I only had more money, if I had more space in my music closet, then everything would be okay. If I just had enough energy, I would fit 26 hours into a day. If I had more support, if I had better PTO, if I had more support at home, on and on and on. But really, the limits are the limits, and I think that's a good thing. So as you're looking at things, of course, we can always try to maximize. I'm big on that. That's one of the webinars that I'm talking about right now. I think when we realize those limits, we actually, something within us starts to relax, and we also get more efficient and more selective because we have to be. So instead of bemoaning the fact that you cannot fit every single thing you would like to do, personally, professionally, whatever other way, just realize the limits are the limits and see what that does for your mindset.
Thank you for listening to the Happier Music Teacher. Don't forget to leave a review and subscribe and tell a friend.